Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I can assure you that it is a lot of work and many a sleepless night just hosting 10 hours a week of radio and then doing it all the archiving, audio archiving and video archiving alike. It's a lot of work, and I'm so exhausted. And on top of that, you know, had these PayPal problems and things of that nature, which really screwed me. But they've all been sort of resolved now. At least the option is now available to donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show through PayPal again. So that if you could do that, that would be really, really handy. Financial times are really, really stressed for everybody, I know, but we've got a real problem getting the rent together. So basically, we're down to zero, and we've managed to pay the rent just pay the rent this week. So if you are capable of contributing in some way to what I'm doing to help the truth movement, you know, giving people the coverage they deserve, providing a little bit of light humor, perhaps a little bit of enlightenment somewhere or here or there. I don't want to be arrogant about it, but frack, I do what I do. And it's really, really helpful to some people. I get emails all the time, and it occurs to me that I actually am helping some people. Some people actually get it when I'm talking, you know, and actually go on to start up their own websites and radio shows. I think I've inspired like maybe half a dozen new people to start up a radio show since I started mine nearly 3 years ago. So, I have no ability to do any of it at all, without the continued support of the listeners. This is why I consider you all my employers. If you tell me to do something, if you criticize me, if you want me to interview somebody, I will do it. And I'll go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. You're the ones who are basically the reason for my existence. Okay. I'm just a voice in the wilderness, if not for you. That's how much value you have to me. And if you're capable of contributing $1 a month, $5 a month, $20 a month, or make a big donation of $100, now would be good. Now would be really, really good. I need a lot of subscribers to make up for the 70, 80, 90-odd people who cancelled their subscriptions when the last PayPal thing happened, okay? Really, just imagine all of your income that you've been building up for years just suddenly disappears like that overnight, and you've got to suddenly somehow get it all back. And I cannot get it back without you, the loyal, wonderful, supportive listeners that have allowed me to do this for all these years so far. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com homepage and subscribe for a regular monthly amount. It's pretty easy. There's a subscribe button and a buy now button. You know, you can either do a once-off donation, or if you want to contribute regularly so that it's just, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and you know that you're going to get commercial-free archives out of it, stuff like that. I make sure that they're up pretty much every day. I very much appreciate it. It's absolutely necessary right about now. I hate having to reiterate it. But yeah, the situation is what it is, and I have to do what I can in order to correct it, if it's at all possible. Suzanne Posel, you still there?
Yes.
I got on a bit of a rant just there. You know, sometimes the just living in reality, and every real adult feels this. Just living in reality is a very, very harsh thing to deal with, okay? just knowing what's going on is a lot of pressure on your mind. And quite frankly, I don't know how I've been dealing with it. You know? What about you?
I look at my children. I play with them. I spend time when I sit down to homeschool my son. I don't sit there and make him answer every single thing. We do it together. It's not important to me. There's always the booklets that I buy for him that are pre-approved by the state. Always have these stupid tests at the end of each chapter, and I either skip over it or do the answers with him. Like I said, this weekend I played for 4 hours hide and seek with my 2.5-year-old who doesn't quite understand hide and seek. She kept going to the same spot over and over again. But that's what I do. I spend time with my husband, and we do whatever. When the kids go to bed, he reads and plays games with my son, and I play with our daughter until it's time to go to bed, and then we put them down, and we just spend time together. And that's how I cope with it, because without them, I would be absolutely nuts. I would have no reason to live, knowing what I know. There's got to be something. There's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And for me, it's my family. And it makes me appreciate them even more than I ever did before, because I know that the possibility of all of these memories, we might not have the amount of time that our lifetime would allow us to accrue a lifetime of memories. If things keep going the way that they're going, we're going to see this within my lifetime. And I, if I'm going to live in an Agenda 21 megacity with all of my food and my water rationed to me and my worth based on what I produce into the society, and if I don't comply, I get cut off, at least I'd like to sit there in my shoebox and remember a time when it wasn't this way, when we played outside and played hopscotch and had sidewalk chalk and played and climbed trees and had a good time.
Do you think it's maybe because kids have still got potential? They're not as worn down and depleted as adults usually are?
Yeah, because everything, their whole life happens in a day. They have no sense of time, and they know that tomorrow's coming. My son starts to understand that certain things happen on certain days, like on Thursdays I have my radio show, and maybe I have something scheduled during the week and show up on other people's shows. But other than that, you know, he has no sense of time unless he doesn't know that what Friday means or what Saturday means or what Monday means. It doesn't matter in his world, and my daughter has zero sense of time. Everything happens, her whole life happens in one day, and it starts over again the next day. And I try to bring that perspective into myself to forget that this stuff is happening, because otherwise, like you always say, you'll go freaking nuts.
Maybe it's kids are living in the now, and that's what we're all supposed to do, but we get taught and by the state-approved curriculum to not think in the now, to think about the future. What was I looking at? It was an episode of American Dad last night about these two kids, entering into a spelling bee competition and the conflict between their mothers, because both of their mothers were pressuring their kids, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, otherwise you'll never get into a good college or whatever. And the pressure starting from about, you know, as a child, you know, as a real baby, you know, you got to do such and such extracurricular activities. You've got to be multilingual. You've got to be this, that, and the other. When the frack do kids even have time to play, be free, be kids if their parents are bloody controlling them all the time, you know? And it's just complete and utter insanity. And the other element here is, I think the kids who grow up forget that they used to be kids. They forget what it used to be like, because they lived it all in that day over and over again. Can't get it back. A friend of mine once said to me, you know, Vinny, my my four-year-old came over to me one time and he says, "Dad, what happened to yesterday?" And he went, "Man, that's pretty deep for a four-year-old."
We have a kitchen table that my mother-in-law gave us, and it's real wood, and somebody made it. She got it from us, a garage sale, and we were so grateful to have it because it's such a nice piece, and we know that somebody handmade it. And then my daughter got a hold of my son's crayons and started drawing all over it, and then my son started drawing all over it, too. And my first reaction was, "Oh, my God, they just ruined the table." And then I thought, you know, years from now, maybe we'll just take the top of this table off and make a piece of art out of it after years of them doodling on top of this table that was, you know, made. And that'll be a representation of their childhood to me. And I can look at that and say, oh, I remember when my children were 6 and 2 and they just, you know, did this. And then later on that day, my daughter took a purple crayon, you know, George in the purple crayon, or Harold in the purple crayon, and she starts drawing on the wall above the couch. And she looks at me and says, "Look at this! Look at this! Oh, my God! Look at this! Oh, dear!" And I said, "You did it!" And she laughs and says, "Yeah, I did that." And my husband came home and he was all upset that, you know, she drew on the wall. And I thought, I took a picture of it. I have it in my phone. It's actually, it's saved in my phone. I use it as the wallpaper sometimes on my phone just to look at it. Because who cares? It's crayon. Who cares if something gets messed up? You know, when you break stuff, we get all upset because we spend all this time saving up this money to buy the stuff. And we keep amassing all this stuff, and then if something breaks, we scream at each other because it breaks. Why don't we just sit back and say, oh, well, that's a good opportunity to maybe replace it with something else. And we don't have to always look at everything that happens in our life in a negative light. We could look at it and say, oh, well, that's changed. Okay, now I can do something else. My son gets a toy, and the first thing he does is he takes it apart so he can build something else. And my husband and I get mad, and we're like, oh, you know, we're not going to buy you any new toys because you keep breaking them. But my son is looking at this thinking, how can I improve upon this? How can I make this better? How does this work? How can I replicate it? We need to get back to this type of thought so that we stop getting so angry at our life and thinking that things are expendable and people are expendable and our lives are garbage. It's not. It's filled with a bunch of small moments that we can either look at positively or negatively, and that dictates the rest of our life. So what do you want? Do you want to be happy or do you want to be miserable?
Yeah, comes the simple choice, as Bill Hicks put it, between fear and love.
Yes.
Yeah. The voice of fear wants you to worry about your bank account and the state of things in your house and whether or not everything's clean and whether or not your children are going to the right high school and all of these other things. And the voice of love just goes, frack it. I'm having a laugh. I'm having fun, you know. As people aren't being hurt. That's cool, man, you know. Let's live life. Let's live it positive. Let's care about each other. Let's not worry about these little things or the things that are large but arbitrary. Level of education, for example, that's the biggest frickin' joke I've ever heard of. Somebody comes up to me, you know, saying, I've got such and such an educational degree, and, you know, they don't understand anything about anything. There's plenty of educated people out there who know heaps and are very, very bright people, but it wasn't their education that gave them that intelligence. It was actually their resistance to the education, yet the willingness to finish it and actually get the pieces of paper that really made them who they are. You know, my brother was telling me about university. He says, you know, when you go to university, they're going to tell you to do all this stuff. They're going to tell you to take all these notes and read all these books and all of this sort of stuff. And you're going to have to do that for a couple of years. And then your learning begins after you get that piece of paper when you realize everything that they taught you was BS. Huh? Isn't that funny? You spend shockingly large amounts of thousands of dollars to get a piece of paper that only tells you that you're capable of putting up with BS for a number of years? I don't get that. I mean,
it is ridiculous.
And whereas you have a look at the college conspiracy documentary, and talk to a number of millionaires on there. You know how they say that, oh, well, if you go to college, you're going to make an extra $1 million over your lifetime. That's only an extra couple of K a year, really, for losing 3 years of earning potential. You can't work full-time, can't get your money, so that by the time you come out, instead of having a car that's all your own, you have a piece of paper that is massively, massively weighing you down with huge quantities of debt. And that's the system in a nutshell. Give you something useless and make you pay a huge amount for it and make you keep paying for it for the rest of your frickin' life while they dangle something shiny in front of you. It's a big scam. Everything's a scam. Everything's a scam. Just think about that.
I know. It blows my mind. It blows my mind, yeah, because when I first woke up, I realized everything was a lie. And that one sentence made me sick for 2 weeks. I was just absolutely ill. I almost went into the hospital. I thought that I was actually getting physically ill. I thought I was dying. I thought that there was something wrong, that I had developed something and that I was going to die. Because everything is a lie. My husband and I love each other very much. It has nothing to do with a sheet of paper. It has nothing to do with the rings that we wear on our fingers. In fact, if we didn't have the rings on our fingers and we didn't have a sheet of paper, we would still love each other. We would still be together. But we have the sheet of paper, and now we're registered with the state, and we're registered with the country, and we're recognized as this. And because we're married, because we're legally married, if we wanted to get a divorce, we have to jump through all these hoops and pay all these people in order to do this. And we had to pay money to prove that we love each other. That had nothing to do with our relationship. I handed over when you have a baby, they cut the bottom of the foot of your baby and imprint the blood onto paper, like that's cool or something, and put it in a sealed bag and send it off to some weird, crazy place. And you have no control over that because you have to give birth in a hospital, and that's just what they do. And they did all of this to my child while I was still, while they were sewing me back up from the C-section. I had no say in it. My husband had no say
in
it.
We'll be right back, folks.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. I'll do a dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. I have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go.
Welcome back.
You want to know what it's like?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We do like to have a few laughs here, but today, you know, it's kind of like a serious thing because I don't know how other people kind of woke up, but for me, it was anger that woke me up, you know, just rage at being deceived and righteous indignation, as it were. The ranting and the raving and the raging and the exposing of scumbaggery just kind of got me right the heck out of my comfort zone, which was sitting at home doing nothing, playing computer games, maybe watching free movies online or whatever, never producing anything that could really help or change anything, right? So, and because I chose to stop consuming and start creating, I became a better person, and I suddenly realized, hey, I can produce, I can create. This is a really interesting sensation, isn't it? That you don't suddenly, you're not really reliant on other people in order to make things that don't currently exist. a lot of people have ideas and they say, oh, you know, I wish I could turn the TV on without getting off the couch, you know, back in the 70s before remotes. And then suddenly a guy that invents a remote or whatever. I think everybody gets the same ideas, right, about how to improve things and how to make things better, but they don't actually take the risk of trying to implement these ideas, trying to invent certain things. And you should not get stuck in that rut. Okay, before you know it, you'll be in your golden years, having worked your entire youth and the rest of your life away, only to have a 401k retirement plan that winds up getting stolen by the bankers, and so you're back to square one. Okay, start creating something. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Okay, if you're capable of tinkering with machines or toys, are you capable of wielding a paintbrush or a computer program? Are you capable of talking? Are you in possession of a megaphone? Have you got a sign that you can hold on a street corner? Everybody has to know these fundamental things. Chemtrails are real. 9/11 was an inside job. Vaccines are bioweapons. The government are lying scumbags. False flag terrorism happens all the time. That the police are simply the enforcers of the ruling class of scumbaggery. The Federal Reserve is a private institution. Basic, simple, fundamental truths that you can just go onto a street corner and just with that one thing today, or whatever, whenever the conversation goes, holding up a sign. Okay? You don't have any idea how powerful that can really be and how many ripple effects actually happen. The difficulty is because it's random people who you don't know, strangers going past you all the time, you have no idea whether or not that resonates with them or whether or not they're going to go home and Google it. But I can guarantee you, people frickin' do. And occasionally, they take the time and effort to actually try and find that person who woke them up and say, hey, man, I saw you holding a sign that time and I did a bit of searching and yeah, man, it turns out it's all true. Okay? Just getting the truth out there weakens the stranglehold of lies that we've got over our entire society. If you expose those fundamentals, it means the mainstream media has less and less influence over the minds of men, and we need to set brush fires there. Because any one of these fundamentals that you wake up to usually splits you up and starts you searching all over the system for different other lies and what the truth and facts and historical evidence truly proves to you. And that is a ripple effect of just one person standing on a corner with a very, very cheaply made sign that he did in 5 minutes. Have you got 5 minutes and then maybe half an hour to stand on a street corner? I've done that many times by myself if necessary. Just help the situation. Sitting at home, talking with people who already know this, doesn't help the situation. Maybe I need to get off my ass more. You know? I got to ask myself that question as well. Sure, I'm doing a lot, but am I doing enough? Hell no. It's never enough. Just as long as you're not doing nothing, you know, keeps you stopped from feeling guilty and depressed over yourself. But hey, until the fat lady sings and these scumbaggery individuals are either exiled to Siberia or executed in public squares by a hanging after a trial by a jury of their peers, you know, to ensure that they're actually guilty, that their crimes are actually punishable by death, you know, for enslaving humanity, for stealing the world's wealth, for implementing covert bioweapon regimes on infants the world over, I think that's worthy of a death penalty. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Or even better solution, I think it's a better solution. A lot of people might get angry for me for saying this. You just tell them, look, hand over all your power, hand over all the keys to all your mansions and stuff like that, and we'll give you your freedom. And you can live like a slave like the rest of us. But then again, They're total psychos. Scary people who just murder innocent other people. There's no use for these people. Really, is there? You can't let them just live in their mansions and things like that and just sit back and go, you know what, we controlled the world once, but, you know, they figured out what was going on. And now we have to just live continuously in a life of luxury without committing any more scumbaggery. I doubt that's going to happen. But it would be nice if there was a peaceful transition of power and allow the people to rule and govern their own lives without the unwarranted influence of people who own the world. Really? What is ownership? You can't own people's lives. Sure, you can own private property and things of that nature because it's very finite. Maybe a chunk of land. Sure, private property's been great. However, these people have amassed virtually the entire globe as their private property and every life form in it. They treat as though they own and patented it. That's not cool, man. Got to do something about this. And if all it takes is standing on a street corner for a half an hour with a 5-minute handmade sign or posting a YouTube video, what are you waiting for?
Try being nice. You'd be surprised. I've been on the other side of that cashier, the cash register. I've been the cashier. And just be nice to the people you run into, and you'd be surprised. You can change someone's entire day, and that pays forward, folks. If we want to change the meme, the social meme from, I don't care, it's mine, and you're not having it, to, sure, go ahead. We'll trade, we'll barter, we'll share, because that's how we're ever going to get anywhere. So be nice to everybody around you. Just try it. You don't have to go crazy or, you know, if you don't feel comfortable going to a rally or demonstrating or anything like that, just try shifting from being a miserable sod to being a nice person and smiling at people, holding doors open for people. Be nice to the waitress. If she screws up your order, who cares?
Yeah, I do that all the time, actually. You know, you just do the opposite of what everybody else's behavior is. You know, most people, they'll go to the person and they'll go, okay, I want a number 3 with the curly fries. Yeah, how much is that? Okay, cool, and pay them. That's their conversation. I go, how are you doing today? And they go, oh, well, a bit tired, eh? And I go, yeah, man, it really, really sucks, eh? I used to have a slave job too, but then I grow up. no, I've never done that. That's just cruel. And that's actually a bad example anyway. But yeah, I've compliment people. Like if they do a good job on something, right, or whatever, I don't just take it and say thank you. I'll actually, like I'm a fan of a New Zealand burger chain called Burger Fuel, right? And there have been occasions where the guy has made just a spectacular frickin' burger, something that just made you stop chewing for a second and just mull it over, you know? The damn farm burger. And I'll go up to the cashier and go, can I see the person who made this burger? You know, just kind of like almost angry sort of type of thing, like I'm going to lay a complaint. And then they go, I'm like, bro, this is like the best burger that I've ever had. You are a burger artiste. And then they laugh and they cackle, you know. That's the best compliment they get in that whole week. Maybe even a month or a year or something like that. Take me 3 seconds of effort to really improve somebody's working experience. And imagine if everybody was like that. Imagine if it was all social interaction. Imagine if everybody was actually kind and complimentary to each other, you know, like airplane peanuts. They're complimentary.
There's a tradition because my father's side of the family's from New York. And New Yorkers are, you know, notorious for tipping. I tip everybody. And I tip generously. And I don't care what kind of service I got. First of all, I know you live on the tips. And I know you get screwed every single day. You probably got screwed by the guy before me. And you're going to get screwed by the guy after me. And secondly, I know that you're living a life, and not everybody performs to the best of their ability every single moment of their life. We're human beings. We are affected. If we had a bad morning, if something happened, it affects us. But that has no bearing on whether or not you deserve to live or die. Absolutely. If I've got the money in my pocket, it's yours. Go ahead and take it. I don't care. It has nothing to do with the service or judging you or making you perform according to a certain standard so that you can feel like you're worthy of my, you know, $5 or $6 or whatever percentage, that whole tip calculator that a lot of people, I've known people who have like this little cheat sheet in their wallet, and they look at the total bill and they look at the percentage and they tip according to that. And I'm thinking, how ridiculous. Just if it was X amount of dollars and you've got, you know, a 20 or a 50, take the change and just hand it over. Who the hell cares?
Yeah, hey, the world thrives on the generosity of other people, and this is the reason why taxation is such a bad thing, is because people don't have any excess income to give away to other people in their time of need anymore, you know? What's the government done to all these charity organizations and things like that? I think Congressman Ron Paul used to work for a charity doctor's practice where people would pay $2 to see the doctor, or free, you know?
Yes, and he did that for years, yeah.
And it's gone. It's freaking gone because they taxed all the spare money out of everybody that could have donated and given it into a government health program that costs 10 times as much with all the bureaucracy and takes 10,000 times as freaking long. Don't you get it? I think it's just the lack of personal responsibility and just realizing who you are and the situation that you're in and acting accordingly, accommodating other people's needs into your own and trying to work towards a better society every single day in every action that you do, or at least make an effort, try. You might fail miserably and just go, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have complimented that person because they're actually a really bad person. I think I'll just learn a lesson. You know, every bad thing that happens to you is a precursor to something good happening to you. You know, it's like a waveform. I think don't you reckon, Suzanne? Is that's how life is? It's like a radio wave. You know, it undulates. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down. Sometimes your life sucks, and people whose life is on a good part, you know, they'll help you get through those suckful times. And then when their life sucks, you're going through a good time, and you can help them through that. You know?
Yeah, if you're always that, my husband is always that guy. If you need help, he'll help you. It doesn't matter if he gets compensated for it. He's always, because whenever my husband needs something, it just magically appears. People want to help him because he's that guy. And he doesn't call in a favor. It just happens. Like, we have a neighbor next door. They've got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they, for unknown reason, started handing me all of their hand-me-downs, all the toys and all the girls' clothes. They have two daughters. So my daughter, I've got boxes of clothes that my daughter can wear for years to come. And I don't have to go out and buy her clothes. She's got a full wardrobe for probably the next 10 years sitting in boxes in my closet, just because whenever I bake cookies, I bake a little bit extra and I send a plate over. Just be that person.
It all comes back to you. That's what I've found. You know, I can go out and endlessly filming people's public meetings and their little protests and things like that, which nobody's turned up to. And then I get it up on YouTube for them. And then at some point later on, I badly need something and I don't know who could help me. And it's that person. It happens all the time. As soon as you start helping people, people start helping you. I think that sounds like a just society. That sounds like a moral fabric from which we can build a future. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com is my guest. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here for today. What were we talking about over the break? Oh, yeah, people screwing you over and getting the advantage taken out of you. Because if you go around and be nice and do favors for everybody and stuff like that, and they never give you anything back, stop doing favors for those people. There have been quite a number of different groups that I've helped out over the years, extensively helped out. Like, they have no idea how many hours of work that I've done for them, and they've never, ever helped me in any way, shape, or form. Never shared an article of mine, never shared a single video, even the videos that I've made of them for them, they haven't even bothered to share them, you know, that kind of thing. And you go, I don't think I'm being appreciated or rewarded for any of my efforts that I've done of my own volition here. Not going to help that person out again. And you go out and you find other people to help. And sure enough, other people give you something back. Doesn't have to be financial or anything like that. They just give you a hand when it's necessary, just because you did. You know, that moral obligation thing. Like the van that we bought with the generous donations of listeners for Sarah, so she can go out and do her gardening jobs and such, broke down within a month. And it's still in the shop. And my mate Dave, who owns the shop and sold us the car, said that he felt a moral obligation because he sold us a car that wasn't up to scratch to fix it, even though there is no law requiring him to. Okay? That's basically the kind of existence that I like to live as well. I like to give things, and if they mess up or anything, take responsibility and fix them, you know, that kind of thing. Remember Dr. Paul Connett coming over here doing his fluoride speech and stuff like that, and I had the little Bluetooth wireless microphones and cameras and GoPro and stuff all over him, and then I put up the video, and I'd put up the website a little bit wrong. You know, took me hours to edit and upload and everything like that. But because Dr. Paul Connett said, you know, the website's wrong there just in the start, I had to redo the whole thing over, and I gladly did it because the information is freaking worth it to lots more than myself. In fact, you can go and see the talks of his that I've done on my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and search Dr. Paul Connett, world's leading authority on fluoride toxicity. You get really well informed out of that. Nobody else in New Zealand has ever put up anything about Paul Connett on YouTube. Nobody. Okay? There's 4 million people. At each time when I was filming them, there were at least 2 to 3 to 5 other people there with cameras. Nobody put anything up. Okay? One person always makes a difference. As I say, because I am that one person most of the time. and everybody talks about this, oh, we need the masses to awaken. We need the masses to do this and that and the other. The masses don't freaking matter, and they never freaking have. You don't need other people to approve of your lifestyle or your choices or your volunteer organizations or anything like that. You don't need anybody. You need a vision. You need purpose. And that makes everybody look up to you. Not you worry about how everybody looks down on you. Okay?
When I lived in Colorado, there was an establishment, a co-op restaurant, and also a place where you could buy organic food and from local farmers around the area. And on Sunday, everyone would take their overage and give it to the restaurant, and they would cook a meal, and you could sit down for free and eat with everyone in the town. Your kids would play with other kids. You'd sit and have a meal, good organic food from local farmers all over. They gave it freely. Nobody made a dime that day. And everyone just sat, and the people who cooked came out from the kitchen and sat down and ate, and you got to have conversations with people. You got to meet these people every single day, and they had a secondhand store underneath in the basement area. And if you didn't have the money to pay for the clothing or whatever it is that you wanted, they'd just let you have it. That's just one instance in my life where I was able to gratefully be around people that didn't care about making a buck. They cared about community, and they cared about the people that they lived with, and they wanted to be part of something bigger than a dollar bill.
See, they're just doing the direct opposite to what all of the other stuff tells you to do. You know, and that's the real key here. Have a look at whatever is going on that you don't like and just do the direct opposite.
Yes. And you'll feel better.
Be generous.
Yeah.
If people are listening to junk information, listen to good information. If people aren't passing on any decent advice, pass on decent advice. You know, it's pretty straightforward. It's not that hard to have a look at what's going on, know that it's wrong, and then think about an opposite way. Not that
exactly.
Hard.
Exactly.
It's just taking that first step as well. It's I don't know. How do you get fired up enough before you really get on that? You know, it's just again the anger, the rage. Just, oh my god, it just wakes you up something chronic. But you know. I almost feel bad if I actually woke somebody up, you know, made them think that everything that was a lie, and experience all the anger and depression and all the stuff that you go through being a truther, losing contact with your family members who think you're crazy, losing most of your friends that you hang out with and everything. This happened to me. This happened to pretty much everybody I know that's woken up in some way, shape, or form. Their entire life just kind of gets destroyed so it can be created again, like order out of chaos, as the Masons would say. What is it? I mean, I wonder, you know, Suzanne, maybe just by talking about this stuff, we're actually doing damage.
Well, I always talk to my listeners. I always answer every email. When I'm on Facebook and people, you know, chat with me, I talk with them. And I don't ignore anyone. And I interact with people as much as possible because I understand everybody's at a different level. And I probably don't know as much as I could or should. And I'm learning new things, and new things continue to shock me, and I can't believe it, and it throws me back for a loop for a minute. We're all in this together. So I make myself as accessible as possible because let's figure this out together. If we don't do this, the idea of coming together and community has been co-opted by communism. The idea itself is not bad. The idea of recycling and caring about the planet is not bad, but it's been taken over by eco-fascists. We can take these ideas back and implement them without all of the garbage and the control mechanisms that go along with the new version of it, and start to create a better world right underneath their feet.
That's right. Every single thing is being told to you is a lie. And I think that, well, basically the lie is society is going great. Everything's wonderful. We've got all this convenience. We've got all this great education and the medical system. Blah, 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 blah. If you made all those lies suddenly true, that would actually be a really cool society. What if we had a medical system that worked? What if we had an economy that was fair? What if we actually had low taxes? What if we had wars for legitimate reasons? Like if you're under attack, for example, and not going off and attacking people because they never threatened to attack you, but we're going to make up the fact that they got weapons and that we sold to them and then go and attack them. imagine if the BS was true. That would be a great society, I think. Imagine if American Idol actually mattered, you know, like if you got people who were singing songs about reality up there. Original songs, and you're actually doing a competition to make an original band superstars that have got all the talent that they need and all the training that they need, but what they don't have is the coverage or the team management and without record labels and all of that other junk that just gets all the artists into debt, so they've got to wind up working at Burger King on the weekends just in order to make ends meet, you know, that kind of thing. It's insane, right, man? You know, you can drive yourself nuts thinking about just how many things are wrong. Like, imagine if you like did a test, Suzanne, just sat here, and have you ever done thought flow, where you just got like a pencil and a bit of paper, and you're just writing down everything that comes into your mind?
No.
No. You know, I haven't done that since I was like 14, but it would be interesting to do, to just sit there and every single thought about everything that's bad and wrong with the world today just kind of come out on a bit of paper. I'd probably write a Bible.
Well, I think that would be great. Like, women are taught from an early age to deal with our logic, or our lack thereof, whatever, with pros and cons. So you sit there and write a column of all the good things and all the bad things, and then you base your decision on that, which column is bigger. And then you go ahead with your decision. But if we wrote down these pros and cons, maybe, of everything that's going on, maybe we could figure out how to do the exact opposite, or how to get through this, even in our own personal lives. And like we've been talking about, what you do affects everyone around you. No one lives in a bubble.
Yeah. But you can have a lack of faith in yourself and go, oh, well, what I do won't matter. And then you don't do anything, and then you don't matter. talk about a self-fulfilling prophecy. Come on. All right. This is a good show today. I hope people have taken away some advice from, and I don't want to seem arrogant like I know everything. I know frack all, okay? I just know a lot more than some people who know less than frack all. We'll be back tomorrow with another show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.